Welcome to the Locked On Sooners Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, John Hoover.
It is Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John Hoover, and for the next 30 minutes, I am in your ear. It's Tuesday, December 10th. We do this every single day. If you call yourself a Sooner fan, well, then you need to tell your friends, tell your family, heck, tell your Selenodon that you are Locked On Sooners. Again, I'm John Hoover from 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City, 107.9 The Franchise Tulsa. Find my columns and breaking news at thefranchiseok.com. That website, you know, is free. Totally free. No usernames, no passwords, no credit cards, no subscriptions. It's all free, and there's lots to do there, including tons of Oklahoma City Thunder content. The latest I have is a story on yesterday's announcement that Jalen Hurts is indeed going to New York City this week as a finalist for the 85th Heisman Trophy. I also post everything I write on social media. On Twitter, I'm at John E. Hoover. On Facebook, I'm at John E. Hoover Media. And you can also follow Locked On Sooners on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. My YouTube channel is where you're going to find all the OU videos, interviews, press conferences, and a lot more. Just search for John Hoover when you get to YouTube. It's pretty easy. I got a really, really cool video that I posted yesterday of the postgame handshake between Lincoln Riley and Matt Rhule, during which the Baylor coach gives Lincoln a little career advice, and you can hear what he's saying. It's pretty cool. Check that out. Again, John Hoover on Twitter. I've also got up an interview that Sooner Sports TV did last night with Jalen Hurts. Kind of looked like right after he woke up from a nap. And that's pretty cool also. He talks about being a Heisman finalist and being thankful for, as he said before, being where his feet are. Anyway, no Lincoln Riley presser this week. You guys know that by now. And I think you'd be happy about that because it means your coach is out recruiting. And by all accounts, which he posts on social media frequently, looks like he's doing quite well. But I've got some very important audio from Alex Grinch that you're going to want to hear. You're also going to hear a couple of clips from Matt Rhule talking about Oklahoma, plus some news and notes. So let's get this thing started.
News and notes.
I already told you Jalen Hurts is going to New York as a Heisman finalist. Really cool reminder from Keegan Renaud, friend of the pod, on Twitter. While Jalen Hurts is in New York, Lincoln Riley's previous two quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, are going to be playing against each other in an NFL game on Sunday. Pretty cool. A couple other items of note. Chandler Morris, he's the son of former Arkansas coach Chad Morris. He's also OU's only quarterback target in the 2020 class. Well, turns out dear old dad, who got fired in Fayetteville, has been hired to be the offensive coordinator at Auburn under Gus Malzahn. So yeah, guessing now that Chandler will be a Tiger or a War Eagle or whatever. ESPN ranked its top 150 college football coaches of all time, and all you need to do to see who OU put on the list is go down to the Coaches Plaza on the south side of the stadium and count the statues. That's right, Benny Owen, Bud Wilkinson, Barry Switzer, and Bob Stoops are all on the top 150. Owen came in at number 115, Stoops at number 29, Switzer at number 13, and Bud Wilkinson came in at number 6. Speaking of great coaches, Lincoln Riley was not on the Eddie Robinson Awards list of finalists. They identified 9 guys this year as Coach of the Year candidates, and Riley was not among them. I think he's done a pretty spectacular job, and I'll call it right now, 3 years into this thing, his best coaching job by far. He's replaced 4 NFL offensive linemen. He brought in a transfer quarterback and had to teach him the offense, a guy who some people said couldn't throw. He made his first big boy decision in the offseason, and he hired Alex Grinch, who has basically fixed the only weak link in the entire program. And all he does is win his 5th straight conference title and take his team back to the playoff. Yeah, pretty routine stuff there from Lincoln Riley for sure. The OU offensive line was a semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award, which they won last year as the top O-line in the country, but this year's group did not make the finalist list. OU did get a couple of really, really prestigious academic awards this week. In football, Connor McGinnis, the holder, was named second-team academic All-American. He's an Oklahoma City kid. He's already graduated with a degree in finance. He's been the holder for all 4 seasons at OU, for Austin Seibert and now for Gabe Berkich. McGinnis is one of 21 academic All-American team members who have a perfect 4.0 GPA. Someone else who's got a perfect 4.0 GPA, I've told you about her before, it's Kaylee Dow, the soccer player. She was named Big 12 Scholar Athlete of the Year in soccer. She's a Jenks kid. She's got a graduate degree going in human relations. She also earned a 4.0 this past season. She was Academic All-America First Team and was a Senior Class Award All-American First Team as well. She was also named First Team All-Big 12 three times in her career. She scored 13 goals this year, including five game winners for the Sooners. We heard a little bit yesterday from the OU players and coaches after the Big 12 title game, but I'm not quite finished. I want to play you a little bit more from those interviews. So here's CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Hurts, and Kenneth Murray.
I mean, it'd be huge for this team, period, to be able to get that opportunity. And I think that's what I'm focused on is just, you know, us as a team getting this opportunity. But, you know, whether, you know, we playing in the college football playoff or we just playing outside in the backyard, Speedy going to play the way that we play. We're going to do our jobs. We're going to go out there and execute.
CeeDee, after your first two big plays, what were they doing to you that made life a little difficult? I mean, how did they adjust after you had the two long plays in the first quarter?
I feel like at that point, I was kind of opening up for my teammates. So I wasn't really frustrated or anything. I wasn't really thinking of nothing. I was just telling him what I was saying, and we just kind of went from there. And if those first two opening plays, they kind of bust for big plays, you would hope like the defense kind of adjust to that. So, and they did that, and I kind of let them know. So we kind of started winning different kind of ways.
It's football. I said that earlier. It's not supposed to be easy. Regardless of the situation, how do you respond? So what, not what? And I think this team showed the right type of resilience. The approach we had with it all year put us in any type of situation, and we find a way to fight and get it done.
Up next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, again, no Lincoln Riley presser this week, so I'm going to play you some audio from The Next Best Thing. It's Alex Grinch. Some really compelling stuff came out of that on Saturday night, so don't go anywhere. All that's next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So my boss called me yesterday morning. I will admit, I was super tired from the trip down to Dallas, the two-day events. I was super tired. He woke me up. My boss woke me up. It's cool. I knew what was up. But he asked me what time of day I wanted to fly out to Atlanta to cover the Peach Bowl. Fired up, people. I've been to Atlanta a lot, actually. I used to cover Arkansas in the SEC, and Atlanta, as you know, was the hub for basically every flight out of Tulsa and essentially every SEC town. Well, that was also back in the day when newspapers were printing, you know, money as well as news, and we flew just about everywhere, but I've never covered a Peach Bowl. Now, I've covered at least one bowl game every year since 1997. I say at least because there's been a couple of years in there where I covered two. But I've never covered the Peach Bowl, so I'm really fired up about this. I'm going to give you guys a little insight into media covering bowl games. As a media guy, I can tell you that we root not for teams, but for the chance to cover certain bowls, because certain bowls do it right. Number one on my list of bowls to cover is the Fiesta Bowl, because they put the media up at the Camelback Inn in Scottsdale, Arizona. And if you don't know about the Camelback, I'm telling you, it's basically a five-star desert resort that sits in between two small mountains. It is so choice. They don't have rooms, man. They have, like, bungalows. They have, like, cabanas. They are amazing. My first year back in 2006 for the Boise State game, they put me in a suite with a 2,000-square-foot patio. Yeah, a sun deck. And I either worked out there on the sun deck or by the swimming pool right across from my room every day after all the press conference stuff was over. Also, all the press conference stuff is actually at the Camelback, so you don't have to get up early in the morning and trek halfway across town to catch up with the coaches. Everything happens right there at the hotel. You cannot beat that as a media guy. Plus, the weather in Phoenix in December and January, hey, it ain't bad. They also got suites with free arcade games, video games, pool, ping pong, pop a shot, all kinds of cool stuff like that, and they hook you up with a round of golf that's right there on the course at their resort. It is the life, I'm telling you. After covering a college football team real hard for four and a half, five months, that's where you want to be, is Scottsdale, Arizona. Number two, and this might surprise you guys, but I think it's a consensus among people who have actually covered this game. It's the Cotton Bowl. I mean, Nobody but nobody treats the media better than the Cotton Bowl. I mean, I know, sure, it's in Dallas, and for Oklahoma people, it's not a big deal. And the weather, yeah, it's usually crappy, but in terms of hospitality, the Cotton Bowl reigns supreme. Unlimited refreshments all day long, all the arcade games, video games, pool, and stuff like that every night. Plus, the food at the media hotel is just phenomenal. They used to have a contest, like a Media Olympics is what we called it, where you compete with your peers in, you know, pool and pop a shot and various other games and stuff like that. I got third one year. The year I was there was 2002, 2003 it was, covering the Oklahoma State Ole Miss Cotton Bowl. And I finished third in the Media Olympics. They gave me a George Foreman grill for my efforts. How about that? That's my bronze trophy, my bronze medal. The guy that won it, he won an electric mini bike, like scooter thingy. Mini bike, scooter. He was zipping around the hotel with it. It was pretty cool. The Cotton Bowl acts like they actually want you to come and cover their game, and it's a lot of fun. And then third, just in terms of the total package, I got to say it's the Orange Bowl. Now, it is a challenge to cover the bowl game because all the media functions and all the interviews and all the practices, they're all kind of spread out all over South Florida. And if you don't bring a rental car, you don't get a rental car there, you're on the media shuttle for like hours and hours and hours in traffic, in Miami traffic up and down the interstate. But they do provide shuttles, and so that's cool. In 2004 now, they added a New Year's Eve media casino cruise, which is up and down the coast, the Atlantic coast, but it was stormy. And I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. Literally everyone on the boat threw up, I think, except me. Worst night of our lives, pretty much. But they now have this little dinner cruise that goes up and down the intercoastal waterway. And it's pretty terrific. I mean, they got live music and they take you to dinner at this fancy place. It's pretty cool. Very serene compared to that 2004 coastal cruise, which was, they had 10-foot seas that night. Literally everybody was throwing up. Oh, worst night ever. No doubt my favorite thing about covering the Orange Bowl was the food. Factored into the hotel rate, which I think at the time was $200 a night, the meals, you have access to three meals a day prepared by the Marriott hotel staff. Like, I mean, five-star food for every meal. It was unbelievable. And the hotel, it's right there on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. So total package, I would rank the Orange Bowl third because you get a little beach time when you're not busy doing something else. Now, the Sugar Bowl does a good job of bringing all the coaches and players to you and make your job easy. And they do serve some variation of Cajun food pretty much every night. So I just fell in love with that place. I'm not a big Bourbon Street guy, but I got to admit, there's really no other place like it. The Alamo Bowl is cool, but I really enjoy San Antonio in general. I liked my one trip to San Diego to cover the Holiday Bowl when Oklahoma went out there, although a lot of other guys complained about that one. I never did because I went to all the parks when there was downtime. I had my family out there with me, so it was very cool. Also had a good time in El Paso covering the Sun Bowl. And that is I'm telling you, Sun Bowl Stadium is a beautiful place to watch the game. I've also covered the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. They get you passes to Disney and Universal. Now, I covered the Russell Athletic Bowl in Orlando a few years back, and I had to buy my own tickets to Universal. But that's the cool thing about covering some of those minor bowls is that the bowl people, they don't major in hospitality, and they certainly don't, you know, cater to the media, so to speak, like some of these other bowls. But you do usually have time to get out and explore the city you're in. So really looking forward to what Atlanta and the Peach Bowl have to offer. So now that I bored you with all that bowl talk, let's hear from Alex Grinch.
We needed guys to step up and make plays. And I think what you find is the more and more guys over the course of 11 guys on the field, 22, which we talked about all the way going back to spring, the more guys that play that way, all of a sudden it can. That's the model. And so much of what you do, going back to taking this thing over and this year is, okay, where's our model? Who can we point to at each position group? And that, by no means would I suggest we have none, but the more you have, obviously, that is when they use the term culture, that's a real part of it.
Alex, you're talking about how well your guys played and you're feeling like you screwed it up.
Yeah.
What is that feeling in the pit of your stomach like at that moment?
Well, it's awful. It's awful. You know, when they come to the sideline and there's certain times over the course of a game where you say that what happened on that play, or you're going to give them a stern coaching point because they didn't execute their technique and responsibility, and you got to own it as a football coach when it's on you. It can be the right coaching point, and my motives can be accurate, and they can look really, really good on a Wednesday. But if they don't put our guys in the chance to be successful on a Saturday, and that happened a couple times tonight, and you got to own it. And I think in the end, the guys appreciate that. I'm not obviously sitting up here throwing darts at them when it's not accurate, and they understand on the sideline you like to think that they know you got their back.
So given that, what was the tone like on the sidelines with your guys, going into overtime?
Well, I think obviously disappointment, but one of the things we keep talking about over the course of, that last 5-6 weeks, whatever it's been, it's just, the scoreboard doesn't dictate our performance. And we've talked about this, is that, all you got to do, you got to go get a stop regardless. Whether Coach Grinch screwed up, whether it's a D lineman out of a gap, whether it's a linebacker that didn't do X, Y, or Z. So on down, in the moment, there's no other agreement that we can come up with other than we got to go get a stop. And if you got to overcome Coach Grinch, that's not good. But we got to feed underneath us there at the tail end of the game and found a way.
What was your key to containment of Mims? Did that start with Motley, and then does everyone help out?
Well, it did. I thought the corners did an exceptional job tonight. We put them in press situations a lot. We mixed up a little bit of coverage-wise, and then that kind of ties into you go to the well one too many times, maybe in the fourth quarter. But mixed up a little bit coverage-wise, and maybe we did the first go-around. And obviously, it's respect. Respect for what they are capable of doing offensively. They got home run threats, specifically with him. And so they did a few things different. And like I said, the balance is, do you go to the well one too many times? And sometimes as a coach, you do.
I saw you after the game with obviously your family.
Yeah.
When your dad was there.
Yeah.
And hugged him. And it looked like you either exhaled that, oh, my gosh, you finally got to this game, or maybe it was the season. I don't know. What were the emotions?
Well, I think when you take a job at a place like Oklahoma, you understand that the expectations are through the roof, and you want to live up to those expectations. You want to prove Coach Riley right. You know that the standard here, and I've used the example before, it's the New York Yankees. You don't come in here and tell them what the standard is; they tell you what it is, and so you got to live up to them. That's a tall order, and it's. Been a lot of challenges along the way, and obviously more challenges to go. But we talked in the past about 1 week evaluations, and at some point you got to exhale. And so I took that opportunity.
I've asked you a lot about Kenneth Murray this year. What does he mean to you? Just his performance today. It seems like he got the air knocked out of him, and then came back in.
One of the models for what we want to be. We talk about trying to have the fastest defense in the country, making sure we don't slow them down as coaches, which is a big piece of it. He provides that. You got a guy that can make you right. He can run a play down when maybe it's not exactly how you draw it up. But he's also a dialed-in guy, man. There's nobody watching more video. He's hounding Coach Odom for more time spent together and all those things. And that's a visual, that's a model. So thrilled, obviously thrilled to have him. And I felt like he played really well.
Kenneth was a guy that, he carried kind of the weight of the world on his shoulders since he was a freshman. He was kind of a spokesman for this defense and had to answer every week why it wasn't better.
Sure.
Did you sense that? Did you get a feeling for kind of the stuff he had been through when you first started working with him?
Probably not when we first got together, but I think over time, certainly when there's we don't get the results on some game days that way, and the look in his eye, he's not the only one, but he's been there before, these guys, as tough as they are and all those things, I mean, there's an emotional attachment to what performances that you have. And unfortunately, in some cases, you draw back to, or you go back to and draw from some tough Sundays after Saturdays that obviously weren't elite performances. So in any event, kind of as we went through that, you saw that more. And a guy that, his motivation is, he wants to fix every issue, and he wants to be that poster job, put it on my back and all those things. You can't have enough of those guys.
He's been that guy, though, that's been on the biggest stage, in the playoff, and it hasn't gone well. What would it mean to you, just as his coach, to see him have that chance and have this defense have that chance to kind of rewrite that playoff?
Well, and I think that's it. I mean, I think your motivation, as always, is how can you be better than the week before? How can you maximize the performance of the individuals that you got. You know you got to get outcomes, and outcomes include winning by 1 point. And so sometimes your performance maybe doesn't match in terms of what you deem winning football to be, but you come out with a win and you move on to the next one. But I'd be thrilled for the group and thrilled for them now. I mean, I don't want to speak into the future, but thrilled for them at this point to have a couple opportunities where they had to come through. They had to come through for Oklahoma football, and those kids did.
Alex, are you aware that Pat Fields brought a guy down by his hair today?
I did not. Whatever it takes. We coach that.
You say we coach
that? No.
Whatever it takes, you coach that. Well, he said he didn't really mean to, but he did kind of use that term, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And is that symbolic, just that play, however it happened of today? Was it as tough, as sort of physically grueling as it looked like?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things as you go through this thing is to create the expectation that it's your play to make, and it's not okay to not make the play. And we've really, as you go through, again, over a course of a calendar year now, and specifically over the course of fall, is that expectation is this football team needs me to make this play. It's not, oh, my bad, shucks, I missed it. My job description says I have to tackle this individual by all means necessary, obviously within the parameters of the rules and all those things. So there has to be that element to whatever it takes. And it probably is indicative of that to a point.
You know, tough game. Trey Brown runs down the receiver. Yeah. And then of course you hold the field goal.
Huge. Huge. And we've had a couple of those plays this year that I'll say it, it shouldn't happen. It's a bad play defensively, but it's everything we talk about what we want to be as a defense. And find a way. If that referee doesn't throw two hands in the air, we got a shot to get a takeaway, to hold them to three. And we've done a better job over the course of the year to hold teams to three, but it includes plays like that. It's not exactly how you draw it up. Sometimes you got to overcome Coach Grinch, and in that case, he did. And what a great visual for running your tail to the ball and getting the ball carrier down. And obviously, it was huge play in the game.
You talked about the standard a minute ago. You think you guys are making strides toward that, and what's it been like seeing your guys finish the way they have lately?
Well, yes, you're making strides, but it's a performance business, so it's one thing to say I feel really good about how things are going, and we're climbing a ladder towards being a more respected defense on both in the conference and on a national level. But you're one game away from not being that, and you can get chopped down real quick. And so, in any event, no, without question, we're progress is being made. And these guys understand that we're establishing a standard for how we want to play. And when you establish a standard, you got to hold yourself to that. So you got to be admitting when you don't do a very good job as a coach, you got to admit that. It's part of it.
You talked expectation. There's sort of two tiers of that at OU. It's conference championship and then national championship. So how do you then take the emotions from this, and when does that become anticipation for tomorrow?
Well, being in a situation last year at Ohio State where won the Big Ten and so have been down this road and been in other conference championship games where two SEC championship games where we lost and it's doom and gloom for the next 24 hours. So you kind of try to handle them all the same way and understand that no matter what happens, you're going to play an elite opponent. Good luck, bad luck on this deal. Now you win 12 games, you're going to play a real one. I don't care where you go. And so, but that's why you're in it to have a chance to play in some of these quality bowl games and beyond.
Up next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, we're going to hear from Matt Rhule, who had some very, very interesting things to say about the Oklahoma Sooners. That's next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. But first, treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, Locked On listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. If you're on the go and you can't visit DoorDash right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Matt rule has taken Baylor from a 1-11 joke of a team just 2 years ago to the Big 12 championship game in the Sugar Bowl. If you watch my YouTube video that I shot, which is on the field at the 50-yard line immediately after the game as he and Lincoln Riley shook hands, you'll see exactly how Matt Rhule did that. He did it with integrity, he did it with class, he did it with sincerity. And you'll understand, if you watch that video, why Matt Rhule is up for several National Coach of the Year awards. Remember now, when he got there, after Jim Grobe spent a year cleaning up after Art Briles, the Bears had just one recruit in their 2017 class. One! He quickly, and I mean frantically, kind of restocked that class. And you saw the fruits of his efforts last Saturday. Baylor is pretty stinking good. They're going to play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And guys, I'm telling you, I think Baylor's going to win the football game. Georgia has a very good defense, I know. But I don't know that their defense is any better than Baylor's. If Charlie Brewer's able to play, and I have no reason to believe he won't be, then I think Baylor's going to win. Anyway, I want to play some clips for you from Saturday's postgame press conference. You talk about a coach who gets it. A coach who respects his opponent, respects the game, respects the process, really. If you haven't heard this yet from Matt Rhule, you're going to love this. And if you want to hear the whole thing, just go to my YouTube channel, again, John Hoover, and it's posted right there. It is so good. So here's Matt Rhule.
I didn't think it was going to get away from us. I mean, you know, it's just, they scored. They really scored on two big plays to CD, and he's a great player. I mean, he threw it out. He made a great run. They hit that, you know, we checked it, that play, and everyone checked it but one guy. And so they hit the other play to CD. But, you know, I thought we thought we were going to be able to take away, you know, a lot of the rushing game. Not 100%, but, I mean, you know, to hold OU to 146 yards rushing, I mean. And so it was really a function of a couple of big plays. Like even that last drive that for the field goal, that was leading to the field goal, hit CD on the play there. And then in overtime, it was really a function of a face mask. You know, we had a face mask to put them down at the 11-yard line. So I thought our defense, other than that, I mean, played really, really well. A couple of, you know, back out of the backfield and, you know, guy blows an assignment. But they made some key interceptions when it mattered. And I think that made them, you know, start to run the ball a little more. I mean, to hold Oklahoma to 23 points in regulation, I don't think anybody's done that in a while. And so I thought our defense played great.
Do you feel like, you know, I know you're just now in the moment after this one, but that you guys will go into whatever bowl game that you go to, you know, not looking at it as like a consolation prize or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say that our track record is, would be pretty clear that there hasn't been a time where we've played like an entitled group. You know, that's entitlement. When you have a game and you act like you're better than the game, that's entitlement. There's not a part of us that's that. I mean, they could have quit. You're sitting out there, you're down 10 with 8 minutes left, and you have your third string quarterback that's never played a really meaningful college football snap, and they played their way back into it. I mean, I think, I told them, I said, get on the bus, root for LSU to beat Georgia. No disrespect to Bulldogs, but root for LSU to beat Georgia. Let's hope they go to the college football playoff, and they should go anyway, in my mind. I mean, I think they're a great team. Let's hope that they go to the college football playoff and represent the Big 12. And let's hope that we go to the Sugar Bowl. And if not, let's go to the Alamo Bowl, whatever bowl people ask us to go play in. And let's play one more, you know, game together. Let's finish as a top 10 team. Let's get the 12 wins, which has never been done. And more importantly, you know, we'll be back. So I told the young guys, like, feel that pain of watching those guys, you know, pull that stuff out and celebrate and let that drive you in the offseason. But at the same time, also understand what we've done, right? Like, we walked off the field and, I mean, Oklahoma fans stood to applaud, and we're not doing it for, you know, fans, but I mean, I think people recognize, even this week, some of the national stuff was, you know, can you believe Baylor, can you believe, how many teams would play with their third string quarterback and come back and get in there? That's a tough group. So I feel like that's why I said you have nothing to hang your head about. You know, you went in there and you battled, it was just a little bit short. You know, one guy catches one more ball, one guy, you know, that guy doesn't, what a great play by a kid to run Platt down. If he just kind of doesn't make that play, who knows what happens. But that's football. But I think we'll be more than ready to go play again.
For those that don't follow Baylor as closely as some of other people do, how would you define your team, what Baylor is, in one or two sentences?
I think you just saw it there. I mean, I think action speaks so much louder than words, you know, and again, to lose Charlie, and to go out there and play the way we played, and to hold OU to 23 points, and I just think that speaks about who we are, and we're a tough, hard-nosed group. We find a way, but we get better and better and better every year. You know, this is just beginning for us. So, I think that was really who we were. I'd love to see Gary if he was, you know, full strength. He's really a dynamic runner for us, and you know, you get hurt in this game. And then for Zeno, I mean, literally, you have to be careful. You don't sound like you ever make, but like literally, he was the scout team quarterback all week. And then we do Fast Friday, and he was playing safety for the offense to give a look. And next thing you know, he's out there in the fourth quarter. And so, and then what I love about Gary kept saying, "No, coach, let me play." But you know, if you're a you know, dual threat dynamic quarterback and you can't run, but he got us back in the game. You know, he drove us down there in the first half, and then Zeno did. So I just think, you know, that's kind of who we are. Clay goes down, Terrell steps up, he's all Big 12. You know, we never want to be one of those programs or those coaches that makes excuses. And I think that carries over to the guys. And so whoever's out there, they just kept going out and playing for them. And, you know, like I said, if that kid, you know, just is a step slower, Platt scores, who knows? If we don't get that, I mean, you know, and I say that more for our kids, like, so them to hear that, like, you're like a play away. And so I want them to know how good they are. You know, we're a really, really good team. And but you know what? A lot of credit to you. And I want to say this about Oklahoma. You know, they celebrate at the end, as they should. And that guy, Kenneth Murray, now it's twice now. You know, they beat us 2 weeks ago in a heartbreaking loss. And they're celebrating. You know, it's painful when you see them celebrating right in front of you, right? And that kid comes right over to me and hugs me after that game, him and Nevin Gallimore. And then today, they're celebrating, and we're getting ready to pray. And who's standing right there is Kenneth Murray, one of the best players in college football, really, in the Big 12. And you spend so much time seeing people talk about what's wrong. There's him, and there's number 44 for them. I hate they got hurt, Boogie Radley Hiles. And they're both those kids after they beat us the last time and after this game. And those were two great college football games. You know, I mean, those were, you know, we played Oklahoma, who's a top four team, and we lost by 3 and we lost by 7 in overtime. That hurts. And how much respect I have for those two kids, that they're the first two guys that came over to say that to me. And that's why, you know, that's why I love coaching college kids, because you see great stories like that. And I just want to make sure I say that about those two guys.
That's it for today's show. Locked On Sooners will be back Wednesday, and we'll talk more Heisman Trophy, some other awards coming up. We'll dive into some Sooner basketball. They're going to be off for a while, both the men and the women. And you know what? Not really sure what else, because as I said yesterday, the regular season is over. The championship game is over. Now we're in a holding pattern for 3 weeks. The Locked On Sooners podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John Hoover, and you can follow me on Twitter at John E. Hoover, on Facebook at John E. Hoover Media, on YouTube at John Hoover. Find all my columns, stories, blogs, and more at thefranchiseok.com. And don't forget to follow the Locked On Sooners podcast on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Hit that subscribe button, share your Locked On Sooners podcast with your friends, and I would really love it if you left me a comment or a rating. Thanks for listening. See you guys.